Welcome back. We're talking about the Apostle Paul and his conversion experience, and it was quite a revelation to me. I don't know how I've ignored it so many years. That when the Apostle Paul met, he wasn't the Apostle Paul at that time, he was Saul of Tarsus. He persecuted Christians. But when he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he had a change of heart. We call that repentance. He asked, "Lord, who are you?" And then he was willing to, "What shall I do?" He had a change of heart. He had repentance. He turned about to follow Jesus. And Jesus told him in Acts 9, verse 6, to go into Damascus, and there you will be instructed what you must do. Do you hear me now? What you must do. And Ananias was sent to Saul of Tarsus, and for the purpose of the doctrine of the laying on of hands, he was healed from his eyesight problem. And we're going to see this pattern of being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of these things are taking place. But the instruction that Ananias gave to Saul of Tarsus, and it was amazing because I thought this had probably already taken place, but he says, "Why tarriest thou?" Acts 22:16. Why are you delaying? Why tarriest thou? What's the problem? What's slowing you down? Why delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You know, isn't that amazing? The early church's response to Christ and the gospel was repentance, faith in Christ, water baptism with the remission and sending away of their sins, and they would receive the Holy Spirit. And it's throughout the book of Acts, and it's amazing to see that. Sometimes you need to just go through the book of Acts, see what the apostles was preaching, and then compare it to what your church is telling you today. So anyway, I'm committed to the Word of God. I might get in trouble for all of this, but you know what? I'm an old guy, and I don't care right now. All I care about is the truth and to get the truth out. And the truth is not going to be a popular message. Those that have itching ears and like to be tickled in their ears and things will not like anything that I say. And that's okay. I'm only committed in answering to Jesus and following his commission to tell the truth. Repentance and remission of sin should be preached. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That is what you'll see through the book of Acts, and you'll see it even in the Apostle Paul's conversion. So why are you delaying, Paul? Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And the early Christians, that was their method of calling on the name of the Lord through the water of baptism. That was their faith speaking and appealing to God for a clear conscience. Check me out. 1 Peter 3:21. So we want to look at, for just a moment, what did Paul say about baptism? How have we been so blind? What did Paul say about baptism? What did Peter say about baptism? And what did Jesus say about baptism? I don't know if we can get to all of that in this session, but we're going to start with the Apostle Paul. Okay? What did he say about his own conversion experience? What did he say about his own baptism? You know, I'm thinking right now, I was talking to a friend of mine a few weeks ago, and he was familiar with a couple that's going to go start a Bible college in some foreign country. And then he told me that this couple had never even been baptized. It amazes me. We can start Bible colleges. We can go to seminaries. We can be pastors. And we've not even obeyed the fundamental teachings of the Christian faith. I guess I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his ways straight. What did Paul say about his own baptism? Let's read it. It's in three places in the New Testament. We'll start with Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. Now, in Romans chapter 5, Paul had been talking about the disobedience of one Adam that made many sinners, and about the obedience of Jesus going to the cross to make us righteous by an act of his grace to give us the forgiveness of our sins. And since grace is so much greater than sin, somebody got the conclusion, well, it doesn't matter what you do, why not sin? And so Paul is answering that perversion of the teaching of grace, because that's not true grace. True grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and to live righteous and godly lives. Titus chapter 2, Titus 2:11, the grace of God teaches us that, to turn from our sins and to follow Jesus. But Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound, that grace may increase? All right? That is the question. It's a perversion of grace, and Paul answered the question. God forbid. To even ask a question like that, God forbid, may it never even be thought that we can take advantage of the Holy Spirit, that we can take advantage of the redeeming work of Christ, that we can take advantage and walk after our flesh, take advantage of God's grace. May it never even come in our mind, God forbid. Now, why? Because it says here in Romans chapter 6, verse 2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There's been a death to sin. I know some people talk about being dead to sin like, you know, like we can't be tempted. It's not true. Like, you can't tempt a dead man. He's dead. We're not talking about that. If you read the context of Romans 6, we can still be enticed by sin, but there's a death to sin. And what does that mean in the context of Romans 6? It means we are no longer under the servitude and mastery of sin, that we have a new master, righteousness. So how shall we that have died to sin or be dead to sin live any longer therein? Now Paul is telling us how that death to sin took place. It is very similar to Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. There was a remission of sins. There was a sending away of sins. There was a death to sin. Jesus didn't just save you in sin and leave you in sin. He saved you from sin because you, notice, were baptized into his death. Notice what it says here, verse 3, Romans 6. Don't you know ye not, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Folks, I don't know where we get the idea this is a symbol. It's a symbol. It's not a symbol. It's a reality. When you were baptized into Jesus Christ, you were baptized into Jesus Christ's death. It's not symbolic. You were baptized into his death. You know, I have this friend. I know this guy that he says, look, it's not a symbol. We teach people that literally when you're baptized into Jesus' death. You're buried with him by baptism. You're risen with him that the old man might be destroyed, that henceforth you don't live under the servitude of sin any longer. And when we tell people that reality, it's not a symbol, it's a reality, then if there's demonic activity in their life, it's like they have to leave the old carcass. They have to get out of there. Why? Because a new Lord has taken over. A new master has taken over. Christ, righteousness. You know, I have a friend that he's deceased now, but he was a powerful man of God, and he led this witch to faith in Christ and repentance. And all of the witch's friends just wanted to know one thing. And this guy was Dave DeWell. Some of you know him or knew him. They said, "We want to know, did you baptize the witch? Was the witch baptized?" And Dave said, "Oh, did we baptize the witch? Is the witch baptized?" And so they ran real quick and got the witch and went and baptized the witch. That should tell us something, folks. This is not a symbol. The Jewish people could still embrace someone that put faith in Jesus as Messiah, but when baptism took place, it was over. You're expelled from the family. That was the cutting off point. You know, most of you, a lot of you have Vine's Expository Dictionary. It's actually a Greek lexicon is what it is. And a lexicon means like a dictionary. If you look up the word under the word baptized, you'll find out that being baptized into the name means you are identified, you become the property, the ownership. You take on the ownership of that person who you were baptized into. In other words, what I'm saying is that Jesus became your Lord and your master. And it's all over once you go through the waters of baptism. That is the final, no turning back place of our faith. It was expected of every believer that came to faith in Jesus. It was the very first expression of saving faith that we read about in the New Testament. So it says, "Don't you know that as many as you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore," Romans 6, "we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We are identified with Jesus in his death to sin, in his burial, in his resurrection to a new life. It's a new life when we rise up. We die to sin, we rise up to a new life in Christ. Verse 5, "For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. This is what took place, knowing this, that your old man was crucified or is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth you should not serve sin." In your baptism, there was a destruction of that, what the Bible here in King James Version calls the old man. I think the NIV calls it the sin nature. The point being this, that when you rise up with Christ, you rise up to serve now in newness of life and not under the servitude of sin. Verse 7, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." All right, we've been freed from sin in our baptism into Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 8, 17 and 18. It'd be good if you went through the whole chapter of Romans chapter 6, but it says, "God be thanked that you used to be, or you were servants or slaves to sin, but you obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine or teaching that was delivered you about being baptized into Jesus. And at that moment when you obeyed, you were made free from sin and you became under servitude of righteousness." Isn't that amazing? You're now the servants of righteousness unto holiness. You've been freed from sin, and now you're under servitude to Christ and righteousness. Praise God, we're free. Paul said he's free. This is what he's saying about baptism. Now, we quote these verses many times at our baptismal service in Romans 6, but we don't take it as for what it says. We say, "Oh, it's symbolic," and so on and so forth. We don't say that during the baptism, but after the baptism is over or before the baptism, we're saying, "Well, you know, it's symbolic, da-da-da-da-da-da." I'm telling you, folks, Paul was instructed to be baptized to come to remission or a release of his sins. It was a way that the early New Testament believer called upon the Lord. Now let's look at it. Paul also talked about it in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, and I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. It says this, Colossians 2, 11 and 12. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised. You know, a circumcision is a cutting off of the flesh in the physical, but we're talking about a spiritual circumcision. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not a physical, procedure. It was a spiritual procedure, cutting away your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to a new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Isn't that amazing? Paul said about his baptism that when you were baptized into Christ, there was a cutting away in Romans 6 of the old man. It says here in the New Living Translation, a cutting away here of a spiritual procedure, spiritual circumcision through your baptism. And you were raised to a new life, a cutting away of your sinful nature. And here it says in Colossians 2, 11 and 12. That's what Paul said about being baptized into Christ. Now let's look at it. Paul said something else in Galatians chapter 3. And in Galatians chapter 3, this is amazing too. Listen to this. For ye are, this is Galatians 3, 26 and 27. For ye are all the children of God by faith, repentance, faith, baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When you go into the waters of baptism, you repent of your sins, first of all, and you put faith in Christ. And you're appealing to God for a clear conscience. It's like going into the water and appealing to God for a clear conscience and coming out of that water with a spiritual circumcision of cutting away of the old nature. And it says here, of putting on Christ. It's just like you changed clothes. You took off the old sinful clothes. And you now have put on Christ. So what did Paul say about his baptism? Read it for yourself. Acts 22, 16, Romans chapter 6, Colossians 2, 11 and 12, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. And go into the waters of baptism today, if you need to, in faith and repentance, believing that your sins will be remitted, that there'll be a spiritual circumcision, and you will come forth with a new life. God bless you.